Hello, this is Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review, May 2nd, 2016. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Cat Aims at Smart Machines. This is an article by Tony Reed from Decatur. Caterpillar Inc. is pinning its faith in tough times on the dawn of a new Iron Age, only this time it's being billed as the Age of Smart Iron. These are ever more sophisticated machines, such as the giant off-road trucks it builds in Decatur, that go far beyond the image of lumbering brutes carrying massive payloads, but otherwise unremarkable. The new breed of Caterpillar equipment will be able to communicate, instantly, information on how it's performing and what might need fixing soon. Speaking to industry analysts recently, Caterpillar's chairman and CEO Doug Oberhelman said the company will be making some major smart iron announcements at an industry show in Las Vegas in early 2017. But he also said the dawn of the smart machines was already breaking. By this summer, every one of our machines will come off the line being able to be connected and provide some kind of feedback on operational productivity to the owner, to the dealer, and to us, Oberhelman said. He said the time was coming when his company can show the customer on his iPhone a complete rundown on how every Caterpillar machine in his fleet is running, and even how productive it is. We'll be very close to that, Oberhelman said. We've got 100 customers on an experimental basis with that right now. Caterpillar's leader was speaking after the company announced first quarter 2016 results that saw profits take a 77% nosedive. The company has fired thousands of workers and shuttered plants to contain costs, but has continued to sink cash into research and development. In the last 3 years alone, as other expenses were slashed, Caterpillar spent $2 billion on developing its smart Iron Age machines. The management team Oberhelman leads believes having the most advanced products in the marketplace is the key to long-term survival in all market conditions, good and bad. We did not cut R&D to the bones as we might have in earlier cycles, said Oberhelman, outlining his investment philosophy. He said the reward was technologically advanced machines working now and much better ones to come. Those products will come to market in the next 2 years to 5 years, he added, and I can tell you, from what I've seen, they will be outstanding additions to our fleet and really be a nice payoff. So, to the extent we can, we're going to hold R&D and cut everywhere else. Also from Tony Reed, Family's Good Moral Fiber. Monticello parents show kids lessons of caring while raising sheep. From Monticello, Christy Pyatt would love to pull the wool over your eyes, and the Monticello artisan is eminently qualified for the job. She learned to knit at her mother's knee at the age of 12 and has been perfecting her craft ever since. She also offers one-stop shopping. Ah, there's my tingling. This is our girl Sally, she says, introducing a very rotund, fluffy sheep that comes clanging into view with a bell fastened around its unknitted neck. Sally is one of a mini herd of 7 rare Leicester long wool sheep that gorge themselves on the rich grass wrapped like a green blanket across Pyatt's 5-acre Fox Run farm. Fat and happy, the roaming Leicesters are fueled to provide all the raw wool the most fanatical knitter could ever need. Their owner sends a lot of their wool away to be spun into yarn, but also dabbles in spinning herself, after hand cleaning and combing the fibers, and turns it into yarn on a wooden spinning wheel she keeps parked in her living room. Pyatt can then color it in any hue or combination of hues, another painstaking process done by hand. And she uses an actual paintbrush, believe it or not. Yeah, I really do, she says with a smile. I sit there, hand-painting my yarn with cups of color. I put them together in different ways and just play with it. She sells off her own website and caters to a discerning clientele that appreciate pretty wool that's cloud-kissed soft. And the color range is so extraordinary, so vibrant, it's easy to imagine that Claude Monet would have left his garden in Giverny to come shop Fox Run Farm. Customers, armed with needles rather than impressionist brushes, can use that yarn to knit their own socks, scarves, shawls, sweaters, or whatever, and they can hire Payette to do it for them. Custom knitting is another of her services, which also include knitting lessons. What matters, she says, is that something gets knitted by hand by someone who cares for someone else. Payette enjoys the creative process itself as a relaxing way to knit up life's raveled sleeve of care, but she also maintains the needle clicks of material creation are tapping out a deeper meaning. When you knit for somebody, especially somebody you know, you really put a lot of feeling into doing that, she explains. You spend a lot of quiet time on it, and you think about who it's for and how they will wear it. Knitting is very personal. It's a sense of caring and involvement she and husband Nathan are trying to pass on to their boys, Reagan, 10, Mason, 8, and 6-year-old Logan. Nathan Payette says they want to teach their sons about the value and importance of working to provide for their own needs. The kids help tend the sheep and prep the wool that will be turned into clothing for them from their very own sheep. They each have one. The boys also care for 3 heads of Angus Simmental cross cattle their dad raises on the farm. Nathan Payette has a PhD in ruminant nutrition, which means he is an expert on cattle feeding, and his day job sees him engaged in research and working to solve customer problems for an animal health company. He says he isn't trying to herd his offspring down the same rarefied career chute that takes him to cattle operations all over the country. But as his boys learn both woolly and leather husbandry, plus taking care of 100 chickens, and also lend a hand harvesting their own food from the family's extensive vegetable garden, they grow in appreciation for the effort expended to feed and clothe ourselves. It's been amazing to watch my son's transformation over the last few years, says their dad. You see their eyes being opened to what it takes to raise animals, what it takes to care for animals, and what they give us back. Sometimes the boys get the wool pulled from their eyes in unexpected ways, but the life lessons are no less telling. It turns out, for example, that the phrase black sheep of the family echoes back through atavistic cords of memory to something very real in the critter world. Christy Payette points out a black sheep called Sadie, all off on her own. Yeah, it's true. The other sheep really don't like the black sheep very well, she explains. They segregate her just because she is a different color. But I love the color, and I need to get more black sheep so Sadie will have some friends. And the article is accompanied by several photographs. The first one, Christy Payette holds Beatrix, the latest addition to her Leicester long wool sheep flock. The rural Monticello resident shears, cards, spins, and knits from her flock and enjoys the total experience. And of course, she's holding a small lamb. Another photo shows Payette spinning wool on her spinning wheel. There is a photograph showing her with this wicked-looking machine assists Christy Payette in carding the wool from her flock of sheep. She then spins and knits projects from her wool, and the machine, of course, is a series of nails, it appears, that she is using. And then finally, there's a photograph of curly golden fleece. After the spring shearing, Christy Payette keeps the wool from her flock in bags. She has more than 3 bags full waiting to be processed. Then from the local pages by Allison Petty, Herald and Review staff writer, article titled Council to Revisit Residency Requirements. The subject of residency requirements for city workers will return to the Decatur City Council tonight. A study session was scheduled to allow council members to receive more information they had requested during an April 4th study session, City Manager Tim Gleason explained on Friday. Several council members have expressed a desire to require or encourage city employees to live within city limits. The issue is complicated because residency requirements are defined in union contracts for police, fire, and American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees workers. Gleason said he did not have recommendations for the council tonight, but would look for council members' directions on the issue. Every city employee really is an ambassador for this community, and it would be nice to have more city employees living in the city, he said. But I would also say every municipality feels that way. In other business, the council will consider selling a vacant lot at 1022 West Macon Street to Decatur Pilot, a nonprofit arm of the Decatur Housing Authority. The sale would help facilitate a new development planned for later this year. The Housing Authority plans to use money from a national foreclosure settlement to build 8 new homes in the Oakwood area. The intention is to sell the homes to moderate-income residents who qualify for mortgages, then reinvest proceeds into the program. The council will also consider 2 rezoning measures. 1310 North Summit Avenue would be rezoned from a neighborhood shopping district to a single-family residence district. Petitioners Michael and Wendy Stokowski intend to use the property to house 4 adults with developmental disabilities, according to council documents. The second rezoning measure, 2882 North Dineen Street, would be rezoned from a heavy industrial district to an intense commercial light industrial district. Petitioner David Binder requested the change to allow for a banquet facility and cocktail lounge. The sidebar notes, if you go, the Decatur City Council meets at 5:30 p.m. today in the council chambers, 3rd floor, Decatur Civic Center, 1 Gary K. Anderson Plaza. Then, from Decatur, Tony Reed brings us an article, Hot Dog, Competitors Agree 4-Day Contest a Success. Dogs, Owners, Contest, Behaved at Progress City Cluster Dog Shows. For a champion with high-octane pedigree blood coursing through his veins, Finn the Bichon Frise is one pretty laid-back dog. In fact, he was so cool, calm, and collected, he was actually catnapping while standing up as he was brushed out Sunday prior to another round of competition at the Progress City Cluster Dog Shows. Finn had already won Best of Breed in the morning and was awaiting his turn in the show ring in the group events. He is 4 years old, looking like a white powder puff with eyes, and has a great future. His dad won major honors at the fabled Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show in New York City. Finn's a good dog, and I love my job, said Lisa Bettis, the professional handler who bred him and his part owner. She lives in Goshen, Indiana, and crisscrosses the country showing dogs. Sometimes I am home just one day a week, she added. The 4-day Progress City shows, which started Thursday, were full of dozens of fanatically devoted dog fans who came from as far as California and brought some 500 animals with them. They contested 100 breed categories in 6 event rings, and the shows, now in their 9th year at Progress City, were co-hosted by the Champaign, Illinois Kennel Club, Sandemac Kennel Club, and the Mattoon Kennel Club. Miniature poodle breeder Audrey Kelly from Johnsburg in northern Illinois has been entering competitions for 40 years and says Progress City is something to look forward to. Well organized and very convenient, she added. Her entry, a poodle called Girl Gone Wild, had won Best of Breed, and its rusty red coat, a sculpted symphony of tight curls, dog and owner awaited an official picture to commemorate the moment. "She's such a good girl," said Kelly, who had the dog up on a grooming table. "But if I put her down, she'll live up to her name." Merle Taylor, the cluster show's chairman, said a good dog show accommodates all types of dogs, all types of owners, and makes everyone feel as if they were visiting the house of a friend for a fun event. "We know what we expect when we go to dog shows ourselves," Taylor said, "and when we put on a show, we know what people expect of us." And two photographs accompany this article. The first, having a good hair day, a miniature poodle called Girl Gone Wild is prepped for an official portrait by breeder Audrey Kelly. Girl Gone Wild had won Best of Breed. And this is a red miniature poodle with lots of fur. The second picture, Monte Cristo, a wire fox terrier, gets last-minute grooming touch-ups from Leonardo Garcini, a professional handler from Indiana. Monte Cristo was among 500 dogs entered in the four-day Progress City cluster dog shows. And a beautiful fox terrier, well-groomed and manicured, with a nice long beard. Sharon Barraclough brings an article from Shelbyville. Shelbyville has trouble finding volunteers. Even as summer weather approaches, at least one Shelbyville resident is worrying his biggest winter project won't get done this year. "Without more help, I don't see how we can keep the Shelbyville Festival of Lights going," Bill Bly said in an email to potential volunteers. Bly, who has spent years building, restoring, and installing the lighted holiday displays that decorate Shelbyville's Forest Park, is worried he won't have helpers when the time comes to set up displays this fall. He's not the only festival organizer worried about finding help. Other leaders are also looking. "I think a lack of volunteers is a fairly common problem in a lot of smaller towns," said Brenda Elder, chairman of Shelbyville's Chautauqua Days Summer Festival. "So often it's the same small group of people doing the work because there just isn't anyone else to do it." Elder has seen an increase in volunteers by working with other groups to add independent events to the Chautauqua Days schedule. "We've been glad to work with other groups who want to have their own events or fundraisers that coincide with our event," she said. Some events, such as the Touchstone Energy Balloon Festival and Scarecrow Days, have combined forces to create larger events, but even then, volunteer help remains at a premium. "It takes a lot of people to have a hot air balloon event," organizer Kevin Burnson said. "If we're going to be ready by October, we have to start lining up help now." Chamber of Commerce office manager Vonda McConnell said flexibility is key for both event organizers and volunteers. "What happens is what the volunteers want to happen because that's what they'll volunteer to do. We have a small group of dedicated people, but we need more help." Elder said she hoped new volunteers would step forward and help with a variety of area events. "There are so many great programs that need volunteers that a volunteer can really do what they want. If they have a lot of time to offer, there are things they can do. If they have special skills, they can be used. If they've just got a small amount of time and energy, we can use that too." And from the At Work page, Chris Lisvardi, Herald and Review staff writer, writes, "Supply management job opportunities increasing," from Decatur. "A tour Friday of Decatur businesses provided high school guidance counselors with a look at career possibilities for students related to supply chain management. Companies providing the tours, including Caterpillar Inc., Park Warehouses, Norfolk Southern Corp., and Archer Daniels Midland Company, want to get students headed in the right direction by knowing what opportunities exist. This is a first step toward letting them know what the jobs are, said Paxson Edge, a training consultant with Caterpillar. They can understand the path they want to be on as the high school counselors have an understanding of the career fields. Opportunities exist for entry-level positions, such as material clerks, to advanced work including supply chain management analysts, Edge said. For the entry-level positions, Edge said soft skills, such as showing up for work on time, need to be stressed. Employees can often work their way into higher-level positions, Edge said. We want to give them a good understanding of what is out there, said Dave Matalonis, Vice President of Operations for Park Warehouses. The more they understand, the better off they will be. Park has various jobs available from forklift supervisors to industrial engineers and customer service representatives, Matalonis said. In many cases, Matalonis said the company simply looks for potential employees to be motivated to do a good job. The information from the tours will be useful in conversations with students about their career paths, said Cindy Kramer, a school guidance counselor at MacArthur High School. The Education Coalition of Macon County organized the tours as it attempts to provide a connection between businesses and schools, said Danny Kraft, EDCO Executive Director. Students can be prepared for jobs they're interested in by understanding what businesses are expecting from them, Kraft said. More job opportunities related to supply chain management will be created in Decatur as plans for the Midwest Inland Port are further developed, said Larry Altenbaumer, Executive Director of the Midwest Inland Port. The needs of businesses are changing, Altenbaumer said. Not everybody knows what the opportunities are, Altenbaumer said. We want to create more awareness. Western Illinois University is partnering with Richland Community College to provide training for interested students, said Bart Jennings, a professor of supply chain management at Western Illinois. Jennings sees unlimited opportunity for supply chain management jobs with numerous openings for each graduate of the program as companies need their products to efficiently reach customers. And several business achievement notices and articles. Hickory Point Bank promotes Funk to executive vice president. From Decatur. Hickory Point Bank has announced that Chris Funk has been promoted to executive vice president, commercial banking. Chris is a true success story for Hickory Point Bank, and he epitomizes our business values and culture. This promotion demonstrates our confidence in Chris, earned through his years of dedicated service to the bank and its clients, said Anthony G. Nessler, President and Chief Executive Officer. As Executive Vice President, Chris will be responsible for leading an experienced, talented, and growing commercial banking team throughout the bank's geographic markets. Funk joined Hickory Point Bank as an intern in the commercial banking division while at the University of Illinois. Upon his graduation with high honors in May 2002, he joined the bank as a credit analyst. Since then, he has served in various positions of increasing authority, including associate, commercial banking officer, assistant vice president, vice president, and senior vice president. In 2012, he was elected senior vice president and chief credit officer. Also from Decatur, Barbeck strengthens resources. Barbeck Communications has announced Nate Chandler has joined the company to further serve the growing needs of customers in Effingham, Mattoon, Charleston, and the east side of Illinois. Nate Chandler comes with a wealth of sales and customer service experience, having spent the last year as a commodity trader account manager at Archer Daniels Midland Company. Chandler also spent 8 years in the medical device industry as a 13-state territory manager and product director. Chandler joins Barbeck as senior account manager to continue Barbeck's success, providing two-way radios, business office phone systems, and security camera systems to Illinois companies. I am excited to begin a new challenge within Barbeck Communications and look forward to working with the team to further develop their already extensive products and services to meet the needs of Barbeck customers, Chandler said. Chandler has a master's degree in organizational leadership from Grand Canyon University and a Bachelor of Science degree from Millikan University. Chandler was a 4-year letter winner on the Millikan football team. Chandler and his wife Christine live in Decatur and have 4 children. And from Decatur, Busey named 2016 Best Places to Work in Illinois. First Busey Corporation is honored to be among the 2016 Best Places to Work in Illinois. The survey and awards program identifies, recognizes, and honors the best places of employment in Illinois, benefiting the state's economy, workforce, and businesses. The Best Places to Work in Illinois is presented in partnership by the Daily Herald Business Ledger, the Human Resources Management Association of Chicago, the Illinois Chamber of Commerce, MRA, the Management Association, the Small Business Advocacy Council, the Greater Oak Brook Chamber of Commerce, and Best Companies Group. Busey is among 18 companies recognized in the large employer category. To determine the best places to work in Illinois, companies were nominated in a 2-part process. First, organizations were evaluated on their workplace policies, practices, and demographics, representing 25% of their total score. The second part, worth approximately 75% of the total evaluation, consisted of an employee survey to measure their experience. The combined scores determined the top companies and the final ranking. Busey will be recognized and honored at the Best Places to Work in Illinois Awards Ceremony, coordinated by the Daily Herald Business Ledger, on May 26th. And the final article in the Business Achievements section, Eichenauer Services marks 70 years in business, from Decatur. The technology may have changed during the past 7 decades, but the commitment to service has remained the same for Eichenauer Services, Inc. Our company is thrilled beyond words to be entering our 70th year in business, said Lee Eichenauer, the third-generation president of the Decatur-based company. Obviously, we wouldn't be able to celebrate this milestone without the trust and loyalty of our customers and manufacturers, as well as the tireless efforts exhibited by our ESI team members on a daily basis. Eichenauer Services is Downstate Illinois' largest industry-certified service repair and installation company, providing service to restaurants, hospitality, nursing homes, and industrial facilities for all major brands of hot, cold, commercial food equipment throughout Illinois. Eichenauer Services is a company with deeply instilled traditional values combined with effective technology. Its unparalleled services have been recognized nationally with company awards and individual awards. And in a Q&A with the office coach, question, for the past 7 years, the managers who report to me have completely ignored my birthday, despite the fact that I always remember theirs. I usually buy a small gift or take that person to lunch. What do you think I should do? Answer. To put it bluntly, I think you should get over this and let it go. I do understand your feelings, and it would certainly be nice for the staff to acknowledge your special day. However, the reality is that employees often fail to consider how their bosses feel, just as kids do with their parents. In fact, they may not even know when your birthday is. Since this lack of reciprocity seems to be causing resentment, perhaps you should consider ending the birthday gifts and lunches. But if you choose to continue, do so only because you want to make people happy without expecting anything in return. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, May 2nd, 2016. Please stay tuned.